And now, from studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, welcome, America. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Network for broadcasting live from our flagship station, WJBO, 1150 AM in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, my hometown, as we get ready for the Christmas holidays. We hope you're ready. We've got a full show today. We'll touch on Christmas, and we'll touch on a lot of other things going on all over the country. You know, we're moving down towards the holidays. We're going to talk about it a little bit, and I got my riding shotgun with me today.
Yeah!
Leo Honeycutt. We've had Leo on the show before. He's a nationally recognized author, has a new book out, an American success story about one of the largest business successes in America involving a guy named Jerry Lane. We'll talk about that a little later on. But, Leo, let me ask you this. You all ready for the holidays? You got your Christmas shopping done?
And the first thing I thought yesterday when I woke up and we were still here, because the Mayan calendar was wrong.
21st.
And I said, oh, God, I got to go shopping now.
We could have avoided all that if the world had come to an end on the 21st.
Yeah.
I saw that there was a big gathering in some location that the Mayans had identified where people from all over the world were there to kind of chant and to spend their time together before the world came to an end.
Yeah, well, they were also at the airports on Y2K. So, I mean, it's the same bunch, you know. It's some way to make money.
No doubt about it. Let me tell you how I looked at the end of the world. You know, I followed up again about the three wise men who traveled so far and wide to get to where they were going.
Yeah, we could use three of them right now in Washington.
Well, you can't find three wise men up in Washington right now. Wise men, I traveled here and far, drove round and round and round the local mall to try to find a parking spot. That was the highlight of my Christmas activity yesterday. Couldn't find one. Ended up walking about a mile. Unbelievable all over America, which is a good sign in terms of the economy. My honest feeling, we've talked about it here when we talked about the fiscal cliff on the show before, Leo, that I think we still got a good ways to go to get ourselves worked out. But most people feel like, look, it is the holiday season. We want to get out and we want to shop. We want to do that for our families. And so retailers are telling me that the numbers are pretty good so far.
Yeah.
And I hope that's a good sign as we get on down into the coming year. So much for us to talk about here today. Let me tell you what I did on a serious note. I sat down and read a couple of days ago probably one of my favorite books, but certainly my favorite book about Christmas. That is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a marvelous book, and I'll tell you what, it's something that you can almost summarize to your young kids to tell them about why Christmas is so special. We get into the holidays to where we get diverted. We forget what the holidays are all about. And there is a Christmas season, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Jew with Hanukkah coming up, whether you're a Muslim, whatever your faith is, that plugs you into some special times. And I found that true in the Christmas Carol. It's a very important story. You remember you had a Scrooge, and he was wouldn't get along with anybody. And his partner, Jacob Marley, was damned to hell for the rest of his life. But he was given one chance to come back and do one special thing. And Marley's worst sin was not his venality, but his indifference. He just didn't care, like Scrooge. After death, he realized that, but it was too late for him. So Marley is given one single opportunity to do a good act. And what he did was to come back with Scrooge, and he offered Scrooge redemption. And when Scrooge saw this, he was saved and given a second chance. And Christians believe that you can be saved in the same way. And so, and remember that marvelous scene, if you saw the movie, it's been on so much this week, where Fred, Scrooge's nephew, talks about the lessons learned at Christmas. And let me tell you, I wrote this down in terms of what he said. He said, Christmas among the rest. He said, there are many things from which I might have derived good, but which I have not profited. I dare say Christmas among the rest. But I'm sure I've always thought of Christmas time, apart from the veneration due to its sacred name and origin, you see, apart from the religious significance, as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time, the one and only time I know of in a long calendar year where men and women seem to be in sync with one another, consent to open up their shut-up hearts freely, to think of people below them as if they were really fellow passengers to the grave, and not another race of creatures bound or other journeys. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never been a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good, and I say, God bless it. And I think that the nephew emulated the feelings of Christmas. It's a strong religious connotation for many of us. But it also is a special season, whether you're a believer or not, for family unity, for thinking of your blessings, and for doing some good. So I hope all of you out there take it off, and I'm sure you agree with me on that, Leo.
You know, we tend to be the Scrooge, though, because what do? We think so much about our careers, about our lives, about what we've got to do next. We're always projecting something forward. We're always living for that day when we can take the time off, that day when we can take a vacation. And the thing is that day almost never comes. And so Scrooge was just all about money. He just wanted to get more money. He was unhappy with himself, but he still had to go for the money. And finally, his old buddy Marley came back and reminded him that ain't the deal.
Well, in a very, very poignant way. And if you've not read The Christmas Carol, I'd have to list it as one of my four or five all-time favorite books. I would sure urge you to do so.
Oh, yeah.
Charles Dickens. It was the first book he ever wrote, by the way, under his name, Charles Dickens.
Mm-hmm.
He had pen names. Dickens was a very famous writer. You know, back then you didn't have television and radio, so he serialized these stories in local newspapers in London, became very popular and very wealthy in doing so. And so, wonderful, wonderful story.
Well, in this frenetic society, too, we need that kind of reminder of what classic is. Because, I mean, this guy had so much time. He hand-wrote everything. Back then, of course, there was no computers. There were no typewriters. He hand-wrote all this out in longhand. A writer brings it from his soul and takes it to other souls and connects to other souls. And it's amazing that here we are 300 years later, 200 years later, and we're still reading him.
Very much so. And by the way, for those of us who look at the religious flavor, I think it's very important. I'm going to go to Midnight Mass on Christmas Eve, as I always do. You might look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 through 9 says that we all are to tell our children about the things the Lord has done. And why I mention that, it's also a great time to sit down and, you know, talk to your kids about the Christmas season, particularly if you're a Christian. You know, ask some questions about the whole Christmas story. How do you think the shepherds felt about the angels speaking to them? And what do you think Mary and Joseph talked about as they were making their way to Bethlehem? A great way to quiz your kids and bring them into the overall meaning of Christmas versus just enjoying the presents, which we all do, right?
Yes, I would imagine what my wife would have told me had I said, "Hey, look, honey, I can't find a place at the hotel, so we're going to stay in a barn tonight. Okay?" In fact, I know you're feeling kind of uncomfortable going to have the baby. Let's just have it in the barn. What do you say?
Oh.
and then three wise men show up. So you really kind of wonder about all that, don't you?
Well, you do, but there is symbolic significance in a lot of those anecdotes, and I say anecdotes in the Bible. I'm not one who believes that every word in the Bible
is literal.
Is literal.
Right.
You know, you talk about some terrible things that the Lord told some of his followers to do in the Old Testament. I have a hard time dealing with that. But there's a great deal of symbolism. And again, that's the point I'm making, talking to your kids about that particular symbolism. So,
plus, we're on a very rapid journey here. I mean, unfortunately, our lives will be gone pretty quick.
Well, unfortunately, so, I hope not. And speaking of that, taking good things quick, it's time for a break right now. We're going to come back and talk about so much more. The gun issue is going to be front and burner for us. Leo Honeycutt is joining me. By the way, his books are listed on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Take a look. You'll enjoy seeing all the great writing that Leo has done, and you can order his books off that site. My website, again, jimbrownusa.com. You can sign up for a weekly memo about who's on the show. Hey, freshen up your coffee. We're here for our Christmas show. We're sure glad to have you with us. We'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
True or false? Some contractors do business illegally without even knowing it.
It's true. I'm Stephen Klein, chairman of NAPAC, the National Association of Professionally Accredited Contractors. We help contractors operate their businesses properly to avoid government or private fines and lawsuits.
So someone may think their contract is legal, but it may not be?
That's right. The laws constantly change and it's hard to keep up with. NAPAC constantly monitors the laws state by state. We have the documents contractors need to operate safe and sound.
Why not just go to a lawyer?
You could, but most don't understand how home improvement really works. At NAPAC, we have the forms, guides, and agreements contractors need, approved by the nation's top remodeling law firm.
And now NAPAC will review any home improvement contract for basic compliance for free?
Absolutely free, but for a limited time only.
Scan both sides of your contract and email it to info@napac.net. info@napac.net. For a free confidential contract review, info@napac.net.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
2 days before Christmas. Hope you've got all your packing done here. We're talking on the Common Sense Show. Leo Honeycutt has joined me. He's the renowned author of a number of books you'll find on our website at jimbrownusa.com. Leo, I was looking over some history notes the other day and remembered the great quote by Thomas Paine, who wrote in his pamphlet about the American crisis back in 1776. He said, "These are the times that try men's souls." And I think we found in the last couple of weeks with this terrible, terrible tragedy that took place in a little village of Newtown, Connecticut, a lot of souls have been tried over the tragedy and what we do about it. How do we respond? everybody's got a quick answer. Some say ban all the guns. And I have some concerns about these assault weapons. And others say it's all a video game problem. And others say it's all a mental health problem. Want to get into that a little bit today and talk about a lot of these areas. Dr. Linda Miles is joining me right now. She is a psychologist who's looked at all these areas for 35 years. She's a therapist. She's a consultant. She's an educator. And she's got a pretty good perspective on the focus of mental health issues. Dr. Miles, glad you joined us today on the Common Sense Show. Hey, Doc, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
can you
good.
Hear me?
Yeah, I sure can. Hear you fine. We're looking for the quick fix. So these potential future assassins, and you got to call them assassins, these terrorists, these individual terrorists. But everybody's got the quick fix. Ban all the guns. That's going to take care of it. Ban all the video games. I wish it were simple, but it's not that easy to come up with a solution, is it, Doc?
Not at all. Not at all. Really, we started out, and I don't know how much your audience is aware of the history of things, but we started out having people in hospitals, and the idea was, let's get them out into the community, psychiatric hospitals, let's get them out in the community. The problem is, that was in the 60s, and then when they transferred people to the community, the money didn't follow. So we don't have community mental health services to meet anything like the need of the mentally ill.
Well, I guess it's very frustrating for a family, and I've read any number of commentary of blogs and parents who are just reaching out saying, you know, their child, 85-90% of the time, leads a very normal life, but then 10% of the time, it's an aberration. They go off the deep end. They say violent, terrible things to their parents. They have fits, and the parents don't know what. They want to rush them off to the hospital. Then all of a sudden they calm down. Those are real difficult issues just for the average parent to deal with, aren't they?
Very much so. And you know what's troubling is that now, as a mental health professional, what we find is rather than have the freedom that we want people to have about their mental health decisions, a lot of these older kids around 20-something, like the shooters, have what I would call freedom from treatment. And that is, you know, they can come in and present themselves very well, and we don't have a continuum of care for them. So then they're right back with their family in 3 days, and the families don't know what to do with them.
Well, it's pretty obvious. I'm sorry, Doc. This is Leo Honeycutt. I'm on here with Jim today. And the doctors are saying that the mom obviously didn't know what to do with her autistic child, and this is not anything about autism. It's obvious that this gentleman had a major problem, and why his mother couldn't see that, and then on top of that, buys an assault rifle and a Glock and another handgun.
Yes.
Teaches him how to shoot them. What would she think? She paid the ultimate price for it, but what was she thinking?
I have no idea, because we know that the risk goes up greatly if you combine someone who is unstable and who has violent temper tantrums, as apparently he did, as a loner. It's like all these risk factors are adding up. He was a loner, and then the availability of weapons.
Well, you're saying that there is major mental issues out there now. Doc, is it strictly a question of dollars? Does the Washington, D.C. and our states just need to focus on this more in terms of dollars? I hope that if there's a commission reviewing all these issues like we had after 9/11, that we can do a state-by-state analysis of just what mental health services are available. Do you think that may be a pretty good start?
I think that would be a good start. And, you know, if you look at it, sometimes I say to people, you know, like the E. coli that people get when they eat bad food, bad produce from the grocery store.
Right.
Well, what I said is if we had an outbreak of E. coli where 25% of our population or more was suffering with E. coli, would we ignore it? And that is how many people National Institute of Mental Health estimates have a mental illness.
25%? 25%.
Yeah.
Of Americans?
Yes. 25%.
Rush hour.
But Leo says it's generally at rush hour. I wish it
Well, that doesn't help.
Very much
but,
so.
But the bottom line is, you know, and I ask the questions, if it was E. coli, would we ignore the need for treatment?
That's a good comparison there, Doc. I think you hit it right on the head. So, well, I hope there is some leadership there in terms of doing a state-by-state analysis in terms, and I know that's just not going to solve all the problems, but and it's just so hard for so many people to understand these mental issues. It's something that hasn't touched them. We all understand if you break your arm or, you know, if you get cancer or something like that, it's touched us so much. But to many, the whole mental health issue, sometimes you think, well, is that person just putting on for attention? They don't understand the importance of getting into the nuances, do they?
No, and one of the things about mental health is it is one of the few illnesses that you can see in a baby and that it will go all the way through to the time that poor person dies. They suffer their entire lives with it. And yet, we have more technology now, more medications, more information about the brain. So we have more sophisticated treatment than we've ever had. The question is, how do we connect the dots?
Wait, let's pull it back for 1 second, because I'm sure there's a lot of moms out there who may be hearing, wait a minute, you can see this in my baby? What would you look for?
Okay, well, let's take autism. And, again, this boy wasn't a shooter because he was autistic, and
I
don't want moms to fear it.
Right.
But they do research where you can take a baby, and the baby, if you do a game with them like peekaboo, and you put something over your face, most babies, normal babies that don't tend to be on the autism spectrum, when you pull it off and you go peekaboo, they look at your face. The autistic child looks at the blanket.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yes, because what bless their hearts, the autistic children are tracking objects. These are often brilliant people who collate a lot of information about the objective world.
And, Doc, I hate to catch you up. We're out of time, and this is so important. I'm going to call you back after the first of the year. We're going to do this some more. Talking to Dr. Linda Miles. She's got a book out called The New Marriage, Transcending the Happily Ever After Myth. We'll put it on our website. Thank you again, Doc. Have a happy holiday. We'll talk to you after the first of the year. Let's take a pause right now on the Common Sense Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Check out StunGunMice.com. They specialize in home and business security, family safety, and personal protection. At StunGunMice.com, they have everything from mace pepper sprayers to cell phone stun guns and everything in between. Visit www.StunGunMice.com for all your security needs. We even ship your products the very next day. That's www.StunGunMice.com for real spy gear, real security, and awesome gadgets.
Where in the world can you find a working replica of Da Vinci's catapult design, an inflatable sumo wrestler's costume, or a watch that tells time backwards? At DaftGadgets.com, you'll find all sorts of fun, retro, remote control, and even outrageous items that probably can't be found anywhere else. If your idea of the perfect gift is a horse head pillow or a mankini, hurry on over to DaftGadgets.com. That's DaftGadgets.com.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
On this weekend before Christmas, we're exploring in more depth this whole gun tragedy that took place. And I say gun tragedy. Some would say it's a mental health tragedy. Others would say there's video games involved. So it's just so easy to put labels here. But there's also the economics of these guns. You're going to see some startling figures that actually, when you have these massacres, gun sales go up. People are rushing around all over the part of my part of the country to buy guns, thinking that maybe Congress will outlaw guns or certain guns. And so to get a little better feel of this, Peter Conan is joining us. He's a management consultant and venture capitalist, teaches strategy at Babson College, appeared in a number of national news programs. Peter, welcome to our show. Merry Christmas to you, by the way.
Thank you, and same to you.
Peter, I liked some of the things you've been saying, and I don't think most of us understand or realize the economic impact that a terrible tragedy can have. Gun sales seem to be booming all over the country right now, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that President Obama has been spectacular for the gun industry. I mean, since 2008, between 2008 and 2011, which are the most recent statistics I have, the sale of firearms and ammunition grew 30%, and that resulted in 23,000 direct jobs, and the total direct economic impact of the gun industry, according to the National Shooting Sports Foundation, is $13.6 billion.
So what you're saying that the threat of changing the gun laws, and the president's talked about this, and even some of these tragedies themselves, the rhetoric starts up about limiting certain kinds of guns. There's a fear. No one understands what may happen, and so they rush off to buy pistols. And we're seeing millions of people doing that right now. Isn't that an unbelievable correlation? The massacre creates more interest in buying a gun.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think that I'll tell your listeners and you also that I don't own a gun and I don't have any need for a gun. So it's hard for me to understand the psychology behind why people buy guns. I guess some buy guns for hunting and some buy guns for fear. You know, for example, the world was supposed to end 2 days ago. It didn't end. But I wouldn't have been surprised if a lot of people stocked up on guns because they assumed it was going to end.
Well, I think there's a regional concerns here, too. I live in the Deep South, to where, number one, hunting is a way of life. My son is out bird hunting right now this morning as we speak, has several shotguns and rifles, and it's a very popular way of life down here that kids grow up with. And then if you're, say you live, a few miles outside of town, you live by yourself, or you even your family's there, having a pistol is a pretty solid protection for you. It gives you a semblance of security. And so maybe if you live in a big city where there's plenty of police officers around, it's not quite the concern. But I can tell you, in my part of the country, it's not the tough, rough, macho guy that wants to have a bunch of guns. It's wives and mothers, grandmothers who just want some protection because they live alone. So there's a variety of reasons that go into what the mindset is in the guns.
Well, I'm glad you explained that to me, because I haven't experienced that directly, but I can understand it. And at the same time, I guess there are these things, I think they're called assault rifles, that can shoot about 100 rounds in, what, a minute or a few seconds or something like that?
Yeah, right.
Is that necessary for people to feel safe in their homes if they're living outside of town?
The consensus seems to be gathering on that very point, that you've seen a lot of even NRA supporters and some of your more conservative Republicans, like Joe Scarborough, who has a show on MSNBC, former conservative Republican congressman.
Yeah.
The consensus seems to be that the assault rifles that are built strictly for killing, that have put off can do so much damage, maybe that there needs to be some real limitations here. On the other hand, I guess that young man up in Connecticut, Newtown, Connecticut, he had two handguns that were semi-automatic, and he could have probably done almost the same amount of damage as he did with the assault rifle. So that's the argument you're going to hear coming up.
And I guess one of the things that I noticed, and I wrote something on my blog in Forbes back in July after the Aurora, Colorado shooting, and I was just enumerating some of the events that took place over the last couple of years, and it seems like in every case there was, to put it mildly, maybe a mentally disturbed young man who managed to get his hands on a gun. And so if you wanted to try to change things in a way that it seems to me would help eliminate things like Newtown and Aurora and all the other ones, if there was some way to make it harder for people who are mentally disturbed to get their hands on guns, that would probably, I don't know if people who are living in their homes, you know, outside of Dallas or something like that, who want to protect themselves, would feel threatened by that or not. I'm kind of curious as to whether they would feel like making it harder for a mentally disturbed young man to get their hands on a gun would threaten the desire to own guns by people who are just trying to protect themselves, as the ones you mentioned.
Hey, Peter, this is Leo Honeycutt riding shotgun, excuse me, and don't mean to make light of this at all, but, you know, after the Lincoln assassination, there was a gun control laws that were floated up, after Garfield, after McKinley, and after Kennedy, so there's always been this issue about should Americans have guns, but the Founding Fathers specifically said that we could bear arms because they did not want the same scenario that we had in feudal Europe, where a military could come in and literally take over a nation. So I understand the NRA's argument on the one hand about the Second Amendment, but I also understand what you're saying, too, about assault rifles. I'm just not sure that we need something that will spit out 100 bullets a minute. It was designed really for the military. But at the same time, where do you cut it off? Where do you say, okay, we'll allow this, but we won't allow that?
Well, let's put it this way. The reality is that there's politics. If you want to get anything done in this country, you have to deal with finding a solution that will work for enough people to pass something. I can make all sorts of arguments about how the Second Amendment is now something that, you know, it's been around for a long time, but it's been twisted into something that basically makes every individual in this country somebody who can start their own militia and, you know, buy hundreds of assault rifles if they want. And, you know, they just go through that gun show loophole where they can buy guns without being checked and buy themselves hundreds of assault weapons. I mean, I guess the question is there some place where enough people in this country can agree so that we can actually try to improve things incrementally? I don't think we can solve this problem in a nice, clean way that will, you know, eliminate any threat of this ever happening again. But I think we ought to be able to find some way after this tragedy, which seems to have touched a lot more people than other tragedies, to see if we can keep this from happening again.
Yeah, Peter, I'm getting back to the earlier question you posed about putting restrictions on those who have mental health issues. And I don't think, no matter how big of a gun supporter you are, that's a problem. I guess the problem is identification. You know, you get parents at home that know they've got a child that is they think has some problems. They don't think it's serious enough to put them in an institution. You and I can walk into a restaurant, look around, and find someone with a broken arm or with a cane, or maybe someone that looks very, very ill. They got cancer, but so often those with mental health issues are fairly calm and hard to identify. So how do you identify these people? And I guess the answer is that families and loved ones have to do it. But those are tough, tough issues to deal with when you've got someone you know has some psychological problems, aren't they?
It's absolutely a difficult issue. But I would say because it's difficult, it doesn't mean we shouldn't try. And there are degrees, because the I don't know if you remember the Virginia Tech. There was a guy named Sung Hui Cho who had a Glock 9. He murdered 33 students.
And listen, Peter, can I hold you with that thought?
Yeah.
We got to take a quick pause,
sure,
to pay the bills. I want to come back. I want you to pick up on that Virginia Tech issue. I'm talking right now to Peter Conan. He's a professor at Babson College. He's a management consultant talking about the economics of the gun industry. Interesting guy. We'll come back and talk to Peter some more. Jim Brown and Leo Honeycutt here on the morning show, Common Sense Show. We'll take a quick pause and come right back with you on Common Sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Are you a homeowner? Is your basement or crawl space damp and musty? Is your indoor air stagnant and stale? So listen up. This is the occasion contractor, Michael King. I've been telling you for a while now, I got the solution. That's right, Easy Breathe Ventilation. Easy Breathe dramatically improves your indoor air by replacing contaminated air with fresh air. Easy Breathe also removes damaging moisture from your home, basement, or crawl space, reducing the chance for toxic mold to grow. Easy Breathe is the affordable way to protect your home and your health. You see, the best part, it only costs us pennies a day to operate. Unlike a costly dehumidifier, maintenance-free, and a 10-year warranty. A 10-year warranty? This is a no-brainer. Start protecting your home and your health right now. Call the professionals at Easy Breathe, easybreathe.com, 1-866-822-7328. That's 866-822-7328. Easybreathe.com. Let Easy Breathe exhale so you can inhale.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA, and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel, and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135, and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. the original Grover Rocket Stove Minimal Wood Use Cooking Stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Okay, we're talking a little bit about gun ownership and the economics of the gun industry. Peter Cohn is my guest. He is a management consultant, venture capitalist, and teaches strategy at Babson's College. Peter, give us your you talked about the blogs you write. If some of my listeners would like to read over your blog, how do they reach that? How do they give us a site?
Well, thank you. I have a blog on Forbes called Startup Economy. And back in July, I wrote a blog called the NRA Industrial Complex. And that's where I'm getting some of these figures from, is revisiting what I wrote last July.
So that's startupeconomy.com?
It's Forbes. If just go to Forbes.com and type in Startup Economy, and they'll find my blog.
Super. We'll put that link on our website so that all of our listeners can take a look if they want to read over, and I'd like to do so myself. Peter, you were talking about that Virginia Tech tragedy where a number of students were killed. Go ahead and continue that thought you were bringing to us.
Yes. Well, I was going to say that we were talking about how do you identify whether somebody is mentally unstable. And back in April 2007, there was this fellow named Sung Hui Cho, who was at Virginia Tech, and he got his hands on a Glock 9 and murdered 33 students at Virginia Tech. And it turns out that he had been diagnosed with a psychological problem, and he was on medication, and there was a database that had that information on it, and there was a law that prevented people from selling guns to people who had mental problems and had been diagnosed with those, and they sold the gun to him anyway. So basically, when they sold the gun, they were violating the that Virginia law. So, you know, that's raised another issue in terms of, even if you could get something like this passed, and by that what I mean is, if you could put together a really comprehensive and up-to-date database of people who are mentally unstable, and then require anybody who sold a gun to check that before they would sell a gun to somebody, you would still have the issue of how do you get people to actually follow, you know, that, and how do you create a system where people will actually obey the regulations.
And also, how do you create a database without invasion of privacy, and who enters into the database? You know, just because Johnny, a junior in high school, is acting awfully strange and throws some tantrums and everything, that teacher puts his name in a database, and all of a sudden she's facing a lawsuit. And so you get into all types of privacy issues when you get into something like that. It's a tough nut to crack, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that in the case of this fellow, Sung Hui Cho, I mean, it wasn't that tough. I mean, they knew he had psychological problems. They knew he was getting medication for them, it was in a database. So there are certain lines that you have to cross. I mean, there's already a database that's supposed to have anybody who has a conviction for anything, and I'm not exactly sure all the details, but that privacy violation, if you want to call it that, is already in a database. So that they can't sell guns to people like that.
Peter, Leo Honeycutt back here. I was It's interesting to listen to this whole conversation that we've been listening to now ever since the Kennedy assassination. It's been off again, on again, off again, on again, because there's always some nut who's going to come out of the woodwork and lose it one day and go. Remember, we used to use the word postal because we because of those incidences. Well, I'm just wondering that, you know, you're not ever going to be able to predict who is going to snap. You're not ever going to be able to predict that. And if you take all the guns away from everybody, then you open it up to a demagogue who could move into the White House one day and possibly take over the country, and we could even open ourselves up to some kind of invasion, which is what the Founding Fathers didn't want. So I'm not sure that there is a clean answer for this, as you were saying a minute ago, but I still don't think that most of America is going to be ready to just sort of, like, you know, hand over the guns and say, okay, take away the
ammunition. Yeah, but nobody's suggesting that. That's
well,
the danger.
A lot of people suggesting
that. I would, since I'm on the call, I would be happy to tell you that that's not something that I would call for, is to take away everybody's guns. Also, I'm totally convinced that argument is a very effective, it really helps boost gun sales. You know, the statistics here in the growth of this industry are really remarkable. And you can look at a company like Ruger, which is the biggest contributor to the NRA, and its stock price has grown at 68% a year since Obama became president. So there is, you know, a direct relationship between the fear and the buying of more guns and the profits and the stock price of that company. So to me, there's something kind of morally uncomfortable about that. It just doesn't feel right to me that here is this company that is profiting from this fear, and people are dying as a result of the guns that Ruger is selling. And I know that people will say, well, it's not people who kill guns, but people who kill people. I mean, the guns don't kill the people. The point I'm getting at is that when you look at these cases, there's another one in July 2011. You had Anders Behring Breivik, who murdered 77 in Norway. It was, you know, it's just one after the other, people who are basically mentally deranged. So anyway, my point is that I'm not saying take away guns from everybody. I'm saying make it more difficult for people who are mentally deranged to get their hands on these guns and particularly assault weapons.
Up until John Hinckley shot Ronald Reagan, he was considered to be, you know, just a nice guy. And then he comes out later and he says, well, the reason why I did that was because I wanted to be famous, and I also wanted to get a date with Jodie Foster. I mean, how ridiculous.
But obviously the guy had mental issues, though.
But before that, nobody knew it.
Well, that's
his friend said that they were shocked.
That's the problem. Peter, we're out of time. Look, we really appreciate you sharing that with us. That's chilling, and it's just so contradictory that a discussion about guns and some limitations create a huge increase in the sale of guns, and we've seen that in this last couple of weeks happen so darn much. Peter, you go to Forbes.com, startup, one more word. Tell me that again.
Startup economy.
Good. Okay. Got that down. We'll put it on our website for our listeners who want to take it in. Peter, you have a nice Merry Christmas and have a nice holiday. Hope to talk to you again in the future.
Same to you.
Take care.
Thank
Peter
you.
Conan, he's an interesting guy. Leo, I'm stunned by that the fact that Barack Obama has been responsible for a massive surge.
The opposite to what he intended.
Yeah, and it makes sense, you know, because people are obviously concerned about the issue of guns. I'll tell you this, though. I don't know of a member of Congress. I mean, there is a reasonable middle ground right here. I wrote a column about this week, and by the way, my listeners can go on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com, and I talked about the whole gun culture and the terrible shooting that took place, and I talked about the fact that, you know, I've had guns virtually all my life and hunt and fish as you do. And when each of my four children reached 18 years old, I put them through a gun class, gave them each a pistol. Because here's a scenario I don't want to happen, Leo. I don't want them to be driving from, say, a couple of hundred miles to visit a friend, a boyfriend or whatever. And it's 9 or 10 o'clock at night. They break down on the side of the road. And then they're by themselves, and a car pulls out behind them, and some pretty rough-looking character gets out to, quote, help, unquote, quote. And so in a scenario like that, I've told them, look, if nothing else, pull out the gun and shoot it in the air. I don't need any help, and shoot the gun in the air a couple of times. Do something rather than sit there at someone's mercy who wants to take advantage of you. So,
but don't do that if they're wearing a uniform.
Well, okay, if you're
okay,
right.
Okay, right.
You're right. But my point is that gun ownership is extremely important. I don't know where Peter lives. His area code suggests that I think he lives up in the city up in Maine. But if you're, maybe it's not a question if you live in the heart of a city where you have much more police protection. Mm-hmm. If you live in more rural parts of America on the West Coast, East Coast, the feeling of protection in a violent society, America's the most violent society in the Western world, that having a gun is a way of protecting yourself. And I don't want to see that change. I don't want to see that change.
Well, isn't that funny? We'd be safer here than we would be in the Middle East.
I don't know about that. You're saying we would be?
I'm certainly saying we would be.
Well,
and by the way, I don't own a gun. Been around it all my life. I don't actually own a gun.
Well, you're one of the few down in my neck of the woods that does. So, any event, you know, what Governor Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, says, well, arm every teacher. And if the people are in the malls that are working in the mall, maybe you ought to you can arm them in the mall. So you can go to the mall now and get Uzis and smoothies, right, at the mall. So, I mean, we can let this proliferate into the fact that everybody walking down the street's got a six gun on their side. And that's a mentality I don't think most Americans want. On the other hand, any messing with the right of you to own a pistol and carry a pistol with limitations. I don't think you ought to take a pistol to church or in the school grounds. That should be off limits. Then you come back, well, but that guy breaks in, and if there had been guns, then maybe that shooter could have been, subdued, shot. But Leo, and I see nothing wrong with the principal and the assistant principal and two or three people having a gun in a safe place in a lockbox or something like that. But it's really hard to find that middle ground, isn't it?
Well, it's going to always be hard to find that middle ground. In fact, what you just said would just frightens to death every police officer I know, because if you arm everybody, it would be tough for police because they...
created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.